Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. Wolves' 59-game season comes to a close and the Champions League bubble is here. It's Wednesday the 12th of August. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute.
Whoa,
hang
steady.
On a minute.
What
happened there?
What
Vish
mean?
Always goes last.
Yeah, what nonsense is this?
This doesn't feel like the Football Ramble.
No, not at all. I like the edge. The edge gives me a bit of space, a bit of breathing room. I feel safe on the limits of society, and I feel safe on the limits of the intro.
Was this your call, Pete?
I just think all wide players just want to play in the centre eventually. It's the Gerard Lampard situation.
You saying I've just cut in?
Yeah, you've cut in. You've cut in. You're going to put it in the top left.
I think you just like going last, Pete, because you like going, Pete Donaldson!
Yeah, I have a very excitable voice.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's, I suppose, that producer Charlie's played some chess here? Because Jules Breach, you know what you're getting with Jules Breach,
easy.
Don't you?
Yeah. Simple.
And therefore, there is a bit of room to be a bit more creative in the middle, which is maybe while I'm there.
Okay, yeah.
And Pete Donaldson bringing up the rear.
Vish, the producer, Charlie, didn't even charge the iPad, so I mean, I think...
I don't think there was much thought in it.
I don't think he's thought about it, really.
We've mixed it up today. And we apologise in advance if we're a little bit nuts today, because it's really hot.
It's really hot.
I've discovered... You're twiddling away with your tash.
Look, I have recently discovered that I can point my moustache like Dr. Robotnik from the Sonic games. And I put a bit of wax in it earlier on, and I was like, I've got like a moustache that you could do if I got proper wax, like moustache wax. And then I remembered, do you remember the side of cigarettes? I used to have that man with advanced stage throat cancer. His moustache is exactly the same as my moustache. Poor bloke. So it's not a good look. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Those cigarette packets are kind of weird, aren't they? That you can get one where there's a man holding his baby, blowing smoke into his baby's face.
Yeah, he looks like a badass. He's like the best dad ever.
We don't know that the baby wasn't smoking before.
Exactly. Could have been the baby smoke. You never know.
I want to know how your other half feels about this, Tash.
All right. Broadly positive.
Really? Really? Are you sure?
If you bleach your hair, it's going to distract them. If they're going to have a problem with anything, it's a body smell in this heat, a haircut, and then moustache is just, look, it's the cherry on the top, really.
What I'd like is that before I next see you, which I think is tomorrow,
shave it off.
I'd like you to get some wax, and I'd like you to come in with a different style tash every day.
Okay. There's only one I can do. I can go up. I can go down.
One up, one down.
Oh, yes. Lovely. An inverted winger. Lovely.
There we go. Enough about facial hair. Let's talk about last night's Europa League, because we finally have the final four in the competition, the semi-finalists. Sevilla beat Wolves by 1-0. That means they're going to play Manchester United in one of the semi-finals. Shakhtar Donetsk blew Basel away, beat them by 4-1, which means they play Inter Milan. A couple of really good games to look forward to Sunday and Monday. Look, Wolves... It was a tough one last night for them. They looked absolutely shattered. And the early penalty miss kind of told the story of the rest of the match. They didn't really seem to get into it after that, despite defending really well. And it's so heartbreaking to lose a game so late on like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Did anyone else watch that yesterday and think it looked a really sweaty game? Of all the games we've seen, that looked the sweatiest. It was like, the start of Scarface, where he arrives into Miami, Florida, and it just looks so hot.
Yeah.
Like, so kind of...
Like us now.
Yeah. But, oh, wow. And you could see all the kind of like orangey sweat coming off. And that's what I saw yesterday. I felt really bad for them, actually, because... You know, Nuno mentioned it at the end of the game about how, like, the fans have been such a big part of this journey that even when they started... So, basically, this time last year, they'd already played four competitive games of the 2019-20 season. That's how long this season's gone on for.
It's been, like, 383 days since their season started.
It's like the night's watch. Your watch is over, guys. Your watch has ended. But it was sad because, like, obviously, Jimenez's first club career miss...
From a penalty.
But they kind of went out with a game plan to kind of frustrate and do a bit of a smash and grab. But it was just, I think in hindsight, I think this whole kind of European adventure, I think a lot of Wolves fans are going to look back and sort of go, I wish we'd kind of gone for it a little bit more, because it was just keep it tight, try and get something extra time. It seemed to be the plan.
That's weird, because I thought they did try and go for it.
After the penalty, there were no corners, no shots. Yeah.
Because I think they were deflated after the penalty, yeah. Because the penalty was their last shot on target of the game. And that was in the 13th minute. Yeah, I think they actually started really brightly. And then because of the penalty miss, which was, they seemed to regard as a bit of a treat, really. Because I think Adama Traore obviously went down for the penalty, but I think there was only...
He ran 81 yards, by the way.
Well, yeah.
To get to that spot where he then got fouled in the box.
So this will explain my next point, because the only person near him was Jimenez, obviously, because he's a fucking live wire, isn't he? Traore. So, so because of that, I wondered if it was a bit of a surprise that they get this chance and like, right, we've got the, going to go ahead now. And yeah, just... The way he missed it as well, it was,
Did you think he was going to miss? Because
I hate
those stuttery run-ups, though. When he was sort of dancing around before the run and he sort of took his time and hesitated, I was like, oh, no. What's he doing?
It gives pundits excuses, doesn't it, to have a pop. It was really disappointing. But I think Traore, I don't know why they play him up top, because you lose so much of his game playing him in the centre. He's so much better when he's cutting in and beating defenders and playing behind the back four. I think next season, if he still is at the club, I think they just need to they need to strengthen. Obviously, they need more players, they need bodies, but they need more options from the bench as well. So, but I would like to see him kind of not it through in central berth.
Is he better as an impact sub? Because usually, what you would see and what we've seen quite a lot this season is Adama Traore not starting games and Nuno bringing him on later on when, by that point, most of the opposition are knackered and they need fresh legs in the Wolves squad as well. And him coming on, he's so difficult to handle at the best of times, but as an impact sub, as an impact sub, even more difficult to handle when the opposition have played, 60, 70 minutes by that point. So maybe they got it wrong starting him last night?
Well, I think doubling up, teams know what he's all about and they know he's really, really important and obviously physically imposing as well, so they double up. If you double up in the centre, in the 18-yard box, that impact of making space elsewhere is lessened. If he's farmed out a little bit, he kind of drags play a little bit more. So I think he probably does operate better as a sub. But he's one of those kind of footballers that would be a bit of a marquee signing for a mid table club. So and the club are run by an investment company, so they would be taking offers for anyone who comes in for him. So I do wonder whether he's going to be retaining his place in the Wolves side next season. But it will be a real pity if they lost him.
Yeah. In terms of that penalty, just going back to that incident, you can understand Wolves fans being really frustrated that the penalty wasn't retaken because of encroachment. Now, Diego Carlos, who was the player who fouled Adama Traore and that gave away the penalty in the first place, you can see on the replays from all angles that he's in the box before Jimenez takes the penalty. And he's then the player that clears the ball that stops Jimenez getting the follow-up and then scoring. So by the rules and by VAR rules as well, this penalty should have been retaken.
What are you watching?
VAR missed it. Yeah. They missed
what are they
such...
watching?
I think they may have been focusing too much on the goalkeeper and whether or not he was coming off his line.
But he was on it, obviously.
Which he was.
Yeah, which is so silly. But they've totally missed that. And that is so frustrating for Wolves, because that was a game-changing moment.
Yeah, what I would say is I can't imagine how hot it would have been in the VAR truck.
Hot box.
Yeah.
Big old hot box.
So I have some, right now, I have some sympathy for them for being in an enclosed room. But yeah, it was very strange. You're absolutely right. What are they watching? I thought the discourse on BT at halftime was very strange, because they brought in Peter Walton and I think he was in favour of retaking the penalty. And then he got pelters from the pundits in the studio. Jolyon Lescott was one. I can't remember who the other person was.
Right.
And it really did seem like they were bullying him.
Poor Peter.
Because he was obviously in his like little
hutch,
wherever he was.
I'll tell you where it is.
With a carrot.
So at the BT studios.
Just newspaper on the floor. Sitting in his own mess.
He has a little room with a few screens in, and he's watching everything in there. So he's got all sorts of different angles on the screen. Mm. So he's kept in like a room separate to everyone else.
I know, but that's sad. Bless it's like him. He's sat at the front. He may as well be sat at the front of the class and they're just chucking paper balls at him. but he seemed to suggest that it should have definitely been a penalty.
Retaken, you mean? Sorry, yeah.
It should have been retaken. Yeah. I don't really know what they have been watching in that regard. You know, I'm just repeating what you've said here, but it was very, very odd.
I'm annoyed that we're talking about VAR again, because the night before, with the first quarterfinals, VAR was spot on with everything. They called a couple of really good offsides. They overruled a couple of penalty decisions that were correct.
Yeah.
So it's a shame to go from going, okay, right, maybe we're getting somewhere with VAR. This is really good to see from, when was it? What day are we? Monday night, yeah. And then last night, oh, they've missed something.
It's more human error, but it's human error in front of television, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a spot on. Human is still involved in the process, and this is one thing we've learned about humans. In this of all years, is that they can be full of flaws.
They can be got at.
Yeah, I did actually think the way Wolves conducted themselves at the end was very good, because it didn't seem like any of them really knew of the two issues with the goalkeeper and the encroachment until it was put to them in their post-match interview. So I think it was Connor Cody and Nuno as well, and they kind of took it on the chin, really. They can't really do anything about it now. That's annoying, but What are you going to do?
Oh, bless him. I'd be like, what? Show me the images.
Show me it immediately.
I need the Zapruder footage.
Going back to what you were saying, Pete, a minute ago about whether or not Traore will stay, there is this, they're obviously not in European football next season because they finished outside of the European places in the league. This was their last chance to potentially get Champions League football for next season if they went on to win the Europa League. That's obviously now not going to happen. So what does this mean for some of their star players? Can we expect any of them to leave? Will they be eyeing up European football elsewhere?
Yes, I think they will be doing exactly that. Well, but then they're a very tight-knit squad, so you just don't know what the feeling's like in the dressing room. I'll tell you, for one thing, they need a bloody good rest because they must be blooming exhausted. So, people will be probably analysing how their careers are going and whether they need a move. But I think Wolves is a great club to be at the moment with a great manager who really trusts his players. But they do need bodies.
Will Nuno stay? That's another thing.
Mm.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it does feel like you look at that, the whole setup there, and think, oh God, if you pull up one piece, then what does that do to everything else? If Jimenez suddenly go, does Jota and Ruben Neves think, well, you know, we're kind of entering the prime of our careers. Do we want to be here if they're going to sell off one of their best players? Mm-hmm. And I think Nuno is part of that. I think he would want to stay. And I think the way to look at Wolves is you almost have to treat them independently to any other Premier League club specifically, because they just run a little bit differently. Mm. Obviously, you know, you mentioned that they've been owned by an investment company and they're going to look at their assets in a very methodical and quite an emotional way. But within the squad themselves, because there's so few of them, really, and they're so tight-knit and they play a certain way and they all seem to really enjoy it to the extent that, you know, someone like Vinagre can come in from nowhere and, you know, and play very well, but also Podence can sit on the bench happily. Mm. Despite having clearly been a big part of why Olympiacos where they were in this competition, and still be satisfied with that, I think they all kind of understand that they're pulling in the same direction. And I wonder actually, without you know, we talked of what the how they'd be hamstrung to an extent by having to start their season so early with qualifying for the Europa League. Maybe it'll liberate them next year to kind of give a Champions League place a good crack, because they don't have the distractions. Their squad won't be as stretched as thinly. So,
and their conditioning is just the best in the Premier League.
Yeah,
they've got to be the fittest club in the Premier League.
They all need to spend about a month in a cryo chamber, or just you know, just on a beach being massaged and with endless amounts of cocktails poured down their throats, because I think they do deserve it.
Sounds good to me. Eight players in their squad made over 50 appearances this season. That is quite something.
It is too many. I said it before, I said it again. The international tournament at the end of next season is going to be absolute trash. Endless trash.
What about Wolves' rise, though? Because under Nuno Espirito Santo, let's just give Wolves some praise here, because he's been at the club now for 3 years. He joined in 2017. And in that time, he's taken them to the Premier League in their first Premier League season, taking them into the Europa League. They've then played this season with European football. Everyone was questioning how they would handle that and how that would affect their Premier League season. They still finished seventh in the Premier League this season, getting to the quarterfinals of the Europa League. It's been incredible, really. And if we go even a little bit further back before Nuno's time, they won League One in 2014. So 6 years ago, they were in League One and they've just got to a quarter final of the Europa League. It really has been a remarkable few seasons if you're a Wolves fan.
And they've done it by playing really attractive, entertaining football. I think we've had this conversation before in here that in terms of a neutral team to watch, I'd always pick watching Wolves. And yeah, they've been a real breath of fresh air to the Premier League. Obviously, they've had their ways of recruiting players that aren't necessarily available to certain other teams who've been in their position before. But you know, I think they're a joy to watch, and yeah, credit to them. They've got a lot to be proud of at Wolverhampton, and you know, Nuno right the way down to they're just general ethos, and the way they even, I think if you talk to people in the area, it's quite interesting that the players who they bought, a lot of them obviously been overseas. Obviously they didn't have an English scorer in the Premier League this season, but they've all bought into the area. I think there's a great story about the number of like little Portuguese shops that have popped up, and even like kind of local cafes doing those Castel de Natas. So you know, we always talk about like
what are they? Wait.
Oh, have you not had them?
This sounds like food that custard, I'm missing out on.
Custard
tarts.
Oh,
they like custard tarts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I think sprinkle a bit of cinnamon on top. Them. Oh, nice.
Yeah, decent. You know, we talked about like the effect that a club and a successful club can have on its surrounding area, with Newcastle obviously being a prime example of what may or may not have happened with the takeover. And when you have players from overseas that are really buying into that, buying into a club which I don't want to go out and limit, well, I don't want to be rude and say they're unfashionable, but I think if you're, it'd be strange, I reckon, for an overseas player to think, oh, well, Wolverhampton, yeah, that's where I've always wanted to go. But yeah, they've really bought into it, and I think that's a credit to the club for making sure they got ingrained, and to the players themselves, yeah, because it's really exciting project, and I do hope they keep that gang together.
Well, I really hope they keep Nuno, but he is, you know, he's got 11 months left on his contract. He would be a heck of a manager anywhere else, so they're going to have to speculate on his particular contract situation, I think, and spend a bit of money.
Yeah, well, heartbreaking for Wolves being knocked out of the Europa League, but a wonderful season yet again for them. So, yeah, congratulations on the good season, Wolves, and unfortunate last night. But Sevilla, the most successful team in the Europa League. They've won it 5 times. They're through to another semi-final. They just love it.
Thing, don't they?
They love it. And so they're going to be playing against Manchester United. That'll be a really interesting game. The other match last night, Shakhtar beat Basel 4-1. They were really strong, really dominant side. Basel got a consolation goal. Ricky van Wolfswinkel. Love seeing him on the score sheet.
Basel keeper very busy.
Very much.
Very busy.
But now it's going to be a really interesting matchup between Shakhtar and Inter, because I think Inter probably, aside from Manchester United and the big star players they have, Inter are probably next to Manchester United in that sense, with the real star names left in this competition. Lukaku is having the career of his life right now. But seeing how dominant Shakhtar were last night, it'll be really interesting to see who gets through in that one. I can't call it.
Yeah, that'll be the more even of the two semi-finals. I think Sevilla will dispatch Manchester United, to be honest. I think United looked pretty knackered, and Sevilla are quite meticulous as they were yesterday to just picking off that bits of tiredness at Wolves show, so I don't hold out much hope for that. But yeah, Inter Shakhtar will be very interesting. Shakhtar were really impressive yesterday because they didn't seem to be affected by any of it. All the things we were talking about tiredness and things like that, they just kept motoring. Like, it was only 2-0 at half time, and it could have been a lot more by the end. And yeah, I think it's important to say that Bar got their goal. Wolfswinkel's goal was right at the end when they'd already sewn up
proper
four,
consolation.
Yeah, those four goals. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this is really fun. I know the players are really knackered, and it might have some long term damage. But
you sound like a drama teacher, like a summer holiday camp. This is really fun. We are exhausted. Let us go back to our tents. No, we're going to do some whittling.
Yeah, I've just thought back to my Duke of Edinburgh's.
Oh, have you got the Duke of Edinburgh's?
I think I've got bronze, yeah.
Lovely. What do you have to do for that?
I think I'm learning about you all the time.
I think you've just got to do one camping trip, don't you?
Right, okay.
I think gold is you've got to find, you know, the lost stone of something.
Atlantis.
But, you boys were discussing swimming shorts the other day and what the difference between normal shorts and swimming shorts were. I thought these were swimming shorts as you walked in.
No, they're standard shorts. So Kate called me out on it because I thought, because of the social distancing rules, I could get away with wearing some quite flash swimming shorts. But Kate's got a BDI and two BDIs, and she was like, "Those
just
are those
one eye,
a BD Pele's eyes."
It's what they call a BDI Mason. And she was like, "Those." She called me out in quite a rude way, actually. And yeah, I thought it really spoke to me the way she did it. I reckon she was a bit of a bully in school.
Yeah,
because she was like, because she didn't just tell me; she had to tell everyone.
Right. Well, you're going to have to call her out on her fashion then in a couple of days' time.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. After this, we're going to talk more about, you were just saying about, Vish, you love this kind of tournament feel to the Europa League. The Champions League returns tonight. We'll talk more about that after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It is now time for more of these.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Sensual.
Did it just get hotter in here?
Yeah, definitely did. Wow. We've been talking all week about features that you guys would introduce to your own summer football tournament, and we've had some really good suggestions.
We have, yeah. Elliot Jones on Twitter says, rather than the usual boring training bib for subs, pre-tournament, each team is assigned a comedy cooking apron instead, like your dad at a barbecue, and it must be worn by all subs warming up. Thoughts?
You can get these comedy aprons, can't you? Mm. That would be quite good.
Yeah, like a nudie lady or... Yeah. I think that's the second time Nudie Lady has been used in the Ramble this week.
I think I said that on Monday.
You think you did? Yeah. I remember thinking, Vish, that is the most pathetic thing I've heard of the Ramble in such a long time. And you've got in my head.
It's
and now I'm saying Nudie
brain.
Lady.
Rent-free in your head with a Nudie Lady.
You don't want to be in there, mate. It's horrible.
You could also get those aprons that have actually got things attached, like body parts.
Oh, what, like,
those?
No, what? Think body parts. What kind of barbecue do you go to, you foul woman?
Just an apron with a knob, then, is it?
An apron with a knob on it, or with tits.
Oh, tits on a knob.
But that would get in the way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you don't want to burn your knob. It would have to be a fire retardant
plastic knob.
Plastic knob.
Yeah, but it's no different to your actual knob or tits. They don't get in the way, do they?
Yeah, but you wouldn't. But that's why you wear an apron, to make sure they don't get in the way.
I wouldn't be barbecuing with my knob out because it would get
burned.
Why
are you barbecuing naked?
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm not some freak nudie lady.
Clip that! Clip that.
I think we're discovering that you absolutely are.
I mean, we had a wasp story before the show. We don't want to get into it.
I did get stung by a wasp on my ass.
Let's get into it then, right?
Yeah, go on then. Right.
Vish, right? You get stuck on your ass. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a bikini for whatever bloody reason.
Yeah. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. We're in a bikini in the garden. You get stung on the bum by a wasp. What do you do?
What I would do is I would not check to see if the wasp had disappeared or maybe even look for the wasp. I would think, well, I've been stung.
Right.
Probably call someone I love dearly and ask them what they do.
Uh-huh.
Inconvenience their lives with this inconsequential story. And then I might go to my neighbours and say, can you look at my arse?
Yeah, not only look at my arse, can you rub some ointment on my arse?
Yeah.
My neighbour that I've known for 6 months?
4 months.
4 months, yeah, cool.
And then they might ask, oh, you know, where is the wasp? I'm like, don't worry, it's still here.
It's on my person.
In my pants.
It's in my pants. Fantastic.
Yeah, forget ants in your pants. Wasp in the pants.
Wasp in the pants.
I mean, that is nightmarish.
It was an absolute nightmare. And I hate wasps already. Like, I'm that person that when I'm around at a barbecue and there's wasps, I will scream and run if one comes anywhere near me.
Well, you don't want your comedy fake penis stung there.
This is exactly why. Anyway, enough about wasps stinging my ass.
Yeah.
Vish, loads of other suggestions about summer tournament improvements.
Yeah, Tom Carpenter on Twitter has written in to say, the introduction of an enforcer or a goon role, like in ice hockey, love this by the way. If the game gets a bit spicy, you can send on your enforcer to start a fight. Could we see the return of Big Dunk for Everton, for example?
I mean, he was in prison for it, so he probably wouldn't be up for it, to be honest.
Well, presumably it'd be like, you know, in wrestling where they're like, oh, there's a no-holds-barred match where no rules at all, no disqualifications. When it's like, well, you could still get arrested for hitting someone in the head with a sledgehammer.
No chair shots.
Yeah, this isn't
no chair shots.
You don't get diplomatic immunity in the squared circle. But no, I quite like this because it did start to happen a little bit in basketball where before they kind of clamped down on the rules, it could be quite violent and you would send on your kind of like stronger players on to like elbow and things like that. Obviously it still happens in hockey to an extent. I quite like this.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of football is going to be played by like 5'6" magicians now. And maybe it's good to get some big oaf in there who's just going to boot them 30 yards.
Yeah, remember, I am the true alpha here. I can tear you to pieces.
Yeah. Alexander Mitrovic.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes on, elbows someone out the way, gets away with it.
Yeah.
I just think his look assaults you. He just looks like a man who could just kill you as soon as look at you.
It's massive, isn't he?
Love a bit of
Mitro. Who are the best enforcers in the game now? Any current players that you could see being brought on just to start a bit of a ruckus? Because we, even though we shouldn't really promote it, it's always quite exciting when there's a little bit of a fight that breaks out on the pitch, isn't it?
It's one of those things we don't like to see, but we do like to see it.
Secretly. Yeah.
I think Radjan Anglin, who the Belgian midfielder who spent his time in Italy and might still be in Italy, actually, he is, if you to sort of see a photo of him, he is one of the scariest looking men in the world. He's a brilliant footballer, but he clearly is someone who likes a bit of pain as per all the ink all over his body. He's got one of those like high chest
tattoos. The ones about the neck.
Yeah,
well,
so like kind of Conor McGregor.
Scary,
yeah. And he looks intense. And he would be... while also being good on the ball, I think he could rough up a few people and put the shits up them, yeah.
Two words, Matt Ritchie, yo, wee deck.
He's not that scary, though, is he?
He's very scary.
Do you think?
He's a one-off man mental.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
He's like the Gordon Ramsay in him, isn't he? You know, coming and calling someone an idiot sandwich.
He's unleashed.
Taste, taste, taste!
Just fuck off out my kitchen. Have you got another suggestion to improve tournaments?
I do, yeah. And, you two will both know that we entered into the studio and I didn't have an idea. And it only came to me a few moments ago. But I thought one of the best things that we've probably missed out on at the end of the season is when, like, footballers come on with their kids. And, you know, there's that great one of Ross Turnbull's kid at Stamford Bridge kicking the ball in the goal. And I think when we get to the latter stages of a European or a World Cup, we have to have like a Bugsy Malone recreation of those important games, but with the kids of those players playing in those same positions.
Nice.
I think that'd be very cute. I think it probably will also attract some weirdos. And I think it needs to be heavily policed.
Definitely. It's like, Mini Pops. Do you remember Mini Pops? It was like little kids doing childish renditions of proper like pop songs. And it was as creepy as fuck. It was like that American kind of you know when you put little girls in
pageant shows. Like that, yeah.
It was a bit pageant showy, a bit wrong. But it was big in the '80s.
Yeah,
and it was no right.
So yeah, I mean, I have suggested it, and I should
step back from it.
I would like to take that off the table because I think those kids should be protected at all costs. Mm.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
When you see really big mascots with small players and it always looks a bit weird.
Yeah, that's my favourite.
You get like the shorter players and they get put with the giant mascot and you're like, what's happened here? Just give me the little one. Give me the one that's literally barely grown.
Give me the little one.
Sorry, that's really weird as well. Oh, right, well, keep sending in your suggestions. We will have another topic on Friday, so we look forward to that. All right, let's talk about something that's been in the news this week. Daniel Sturridge did an interview with Sky Sports. Now, he's not played since leaving Trabzonspor in March after being handed a 4-month ban for breaching FA's gambling regulations. And this is what he said to Sky. He said, "I'm opening to playing in other leagues, but to come back to England and give my best would be a huge option for me." It's always a real shame when you see someone who was as successful as Daniel Sturridge was, particularly in his time at Liverpool, kind of go on this downward trajectory and kind of be a little bit in no man's land at the moment. Can you see a return to the Premier League for him?
I think so. I think he's good enough to still play in the Premier League. But I wonder if that's just my nostalgia playing tricks on me, because I remember the good things he does and how capable he is with his feet. And, you know, he was a very unique English player in that he was a forward. He could also play out wide, and he loved doing, you know, the unexpected. I think he's a type of player who I imagine could be quite hard to coach, because he's part of the reason that he's in this kind of downturn is he's always been a big team player. Yeah. You know, he came through, you know, latterly at Manchester City. He then went to Chelsea. He then went to Liverpool. He's tasted Champions League football. He's tasted those big nights.
He's won it a couple of times, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, so I was really surprised, really, really surprised that when he went on loan from Liverpool, he went to West Brom when there were other teams sniffing around. I think Inter Milan, I don't know if they were actually in for him, but they were a team that were thrown in there as well. And I thought when he went to West Brom, he really uncovered, I suppose, a blind spot in his football education in that because he's been part of a big club, and because he's been allowed to play as this almost kind of free roaming forward player, that he doesn't really fit in to systems which aren't playing attacking football. He's not someone who's going to track back. He's not someone who's going to, you know, bust a gut when you put him on the right so that he can, while he can cut in on his left foot, he'd have to do all the brunt stuff that you're expected to do at the end of the table. So therefore, I was kind of thinking maybe, like, where would he go? What system would he suit? Where would he be allowed to be indulge? And I know in saying a player's indulge sounds a bit like they're trouble or they're not worth a hassle, but I mean more in the kind of creative
sense. Yeah.
And I could only really come out with potentially Southampton if they wanted someone to come on as an impact player. I could see him at West Ham purely because that kind of the basket case nature of them, and also his status, I think they can align quite nicely. Not that they'd do each other any good, but obviously Felipe Anderson might be on the way out, so they might be vacancy there for a bit more creativity. But yeah, really, I don't really know, because I don't think he'll be indulged by many top 10 or even top 15 clubs, and I don't think he wants to play in the bottom five.
Well, he spoke from like an early age how going through Aston Villa's ranks, obviously, he sort of said that his dad would insist on him not attending as many coaching sessions, just so it doesn't coach the natural talent out of him. So he's always been this kind of like instinctual, kind of like backs himself to do the right thing and to do the unexpected.
You're
and that's
kind
why
of doing
at
a celebration there. Oh, yeah.
Are
not you?
I really
subconsciously.
I really like him as a footballer. I mean, fuck Newcastle. I'll take him at Newcastle. We need forward players. And he was kind of quite rare that he was very left footed and just a really interesting player to watch. And I know what it sounds like, a man like me talking about a guy who clearly has a bit of bullshit, you know, that he's got to deal with outside of the football. And I think it's imperative that people like me reassess how we talk about footballers in 2020. But I do think he's just a bit daft. I just think his kind of whole thing is like, my talent will get me through. I deserve millions and millions of pounds per year. His move to Turkey was obviously scuppered by the gambling thing. You know, the quote was, he told his brother Leon, put the grand on Sevilla. I'll give you it back if you lose. He should have done that last night. If he did that last night, he would have been quids in. But he seems to sort of like, he got dumped out of football literally because he didn't know what he was doing himself. He didn't know where he was going, and he's still insisting that he knew where he's heading off. When a Crystal Palace loanee at 24 is doing the business over you in Turkey, I think you're in a situation where you're like, you really have to reassess. He spends a lot of time in America. You would imagine that if the MLS came calling with a decent offer, you know, Inter Milan, Mario Götze said he doesn't want to go to MLS. I mean, how old is he? 28, 29? I mean, his boner is considerably younger, but he said no to David Beckham's into Miami.
He can't have a young boner.
No, it's so wrong.
You don't have him when you're a kid, do you?
Oh, don't.
We've all got one. Not now, but yeah. He,
I hope not.
But I imagine, I think if Beckham's franchise came calling, I think he'd do that because he does love living
He's
in America.
He's 30 now, Daniel Sturridge. 30 years old.
What? He's a hell of a footballer, but again, you don't know how much this is tied up with nostalgia. And he does need to be indulged. He does need that space. He does need that room. And I would take him at Newcastle United.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe the MLS fits a bit better as well, because whoever he joins, he'll be a big fish in a small pond. And maybe that's what he wants. Maybe
Sorry,
he wants...
I'm still just...
It's fine.
The young boner.
It's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Whatever thinks about Mario Götze, they think about him having a boner. That's what everybody thinks about.
I don't think they put an age on it, though.
Well, I'll just say, because he's 28, that comes with him. It doesn't matter.
The question that needs to be asked at this stage, I don't know how far are we in the recording?
37 minutes.
The question we need to ask after 37 minutes is this already a problematic show?
I think it probably is. I think it probably
is. It's a hot day. It's a hot day.
It's really hot.
Look, you guys didn't listen to a 45-minute Oxford Union interview with Daniel Sturridge. It was very boring. His favourite manager was Owen Coyle to play under because he was a striker like him. And his most devastatingly difficult defender to play against was Chris Smalling.
Yeah, nothing wrong with either of those things. on Daniel Sturridge videos...
I think he might be daft.
On Daniel Sturridge videos, there's a video where he visits a local school in Liverpool, and it's at the peak of his powers when he's there. So he's really well known, and he's a lot of those kids' favourite players. And they do that thing where they interview them in a room and they've got their back to the door. So when they say he's their favourite player, he comes in and surprises them. And it's really lovely because quite a few students say that he's their favourite player.
Oh.
Loads of students say he's not their favourite player. And that's even funnier because he just deals with it so well. And I think that's what it was. There's also another video of him and Raheem Sterling on England duty complaining about his FIFA stats.
Right.
And that's very funny as well.
Yeah.
And I wonder actually if that kind of forms part of my memory of him, of clearly a fun-loving player on the pitch and someone who knows how to have a laugh off it and is clearly very engaging and has a great personality. I really do wish him well. I don't think this career has panned out as it was. I remember he was the first player, certainly on my radar, who, you know, you get told about players who are going to be brilliant, and he was the first one for me. I think he would have been 14, and he scored a hat trick in the FA Youth Cup, I think, with both feet as well. And I was like, right, this guy's going to be a star. And it would be rude and perhaps a bit out of order to look on his career and think it's been a failure.
His
partnership with Suarez, the new SAS.
He was so good in his time at Liverpool. His first season scored 35 goals in the first year and a half he was at Liverpool. That's an incredible goal scoring record, and you can't deny that he's got talent. I think it's just to give the player the benefit of the doubt. There's obviously something else happening off the pitch, maybe, perhaps that it might be personal reasons. It also must be really difficult for a player who is injury prone like that from a mental perspective, as well as physically having to recover. Mentally, a lot of players do talk when their careers are over about how difficult it is to kind of get over injuries and go again, especially when you've been built up so high. In his time at Liverpool, like you say, his partnership with Suarez, they were lauded, weren't they, as best partnership in the Premier League at the time. I think that it must be really tricky for him, but also a tricky decision for, if he were to move back to the Premier League, for a Premier League club to decide to invest in a player like him who is injury prone.
It'd be an Andy Carroll deal. This is a come and get Newcastle United soon. This is a plea. it would be pay as you play, but would you take that as a player as talented as him? Because he is so injury prone, and he sort of talks quite eloquently about going from being a team player, then as soon as you're injured, you're a solo athlete.
Yeah.
Because you just got to get back on that field and prove everyone wrong that you're not an injury prone. But the problem is, it's just body just keeps breaking down.
And a lot of times, a player who is injured, their manager is so key to their recovery and how they deal with them and how they work with them and you know, help them in their road to recovery. But for Daniel Sturridge, he's been moving around quite a bit, that maybe he's not had that figure in his life at a club that's really helped him along consistently, if that makes sense.
He's not had his own coil for a while.
He's not had his own coil.
Have you seen his dog's had a lovely haircut, though?
Oh, really?
Oh,
didn't he lose his dog?
He did, yeah. He got robbed, yeah, but it came back. It didn't just come back, I presume.
He gave a really healthy reward for someone finding it, didn't he? Yeah. Gorgeous dog. Gorgeous.
Oh, but the haircut, Jules, is...
I haven't seen it. I need to see.
Primo dog haircut.
But before we move on,
it's got its own Instagram account. Let's make that very clear.
Finding it.
I think all dogs have their own Instagram account now, don't they? Pablo's going to have one soon enough.
My little puppy. Yes. Which I'm getting at the end of the month. He's definitely having his own Instagram account.
He obviously wants to... I think it goes a bit deeper than wanting to play back in the Premier League again. He just wants to come back to the UK, doesn't he? He wants to come back to England. And for those reasons you outlined there, probably just wants to be settled. And so with that, I wondered actually, potentially...
Oh, stop it. I found the dog. Oh, my God. He's actually smaller than he looks with all his fur.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look.
A lot of dogs are mainly fur. Yeah. Look at it.
Absolutely adorable.
Look at him. Come on.
I love that he has his own Instagram account. Lucci the Pucci.
But it's stuff like that, innit?
that's fine, isn't it?
Come on.
But basically, I wondered if he'd maybe... if Celtic are going to lose Odson Edwards, then maybe he could do a job there, even though it would go against their modus operandi of getting in young up-and-coming players and giving them a chance. But I mean, that'd be quite cool. I'd quite like that.
All right, well, the Champions League returns tonight, boys. Looking forward to this. Just like the Europa League, it's going to be played tournament style. It is in Portugal. It's moving to Lisbon. All teams and staff are therefore required to stick to rules from a 31-page document. They have to stick to these COVID rules. It's really hot in here, but I can imagine that it must be stifling sticking to those COVID rules out in Lisbon as well. Look, it's interesting because we're kind of used to this new COVID lifestyle now where things are done very differently. But listen to some of the things they have to do. Now, they have private access routes in and out of the hotels. They have specific dining areas. I think only 6 people are allowed in gyms at a time. They're not allowed to mix with anyone outside of their group. It's all very strict. There's testing the day before each game. Now, we know that 2 Atletico players tested positive, so therefore they won't be travelling with the team for their match, which I think might be tomorrow or definitely in the next couple of days because it's 4 days now. There's a different Champions League game on each day. Some of the rules, though, that they have to stick to are quite intrusive. So when they do a drugs test, there is a mirror in front of the toilet so that the socially distanced doctor can see that they're not forging their drugs test.
Now, they're not wearing a fake apron.
That, I mean, I'm not a fan of public toilets at the best of time, but having someone stand there and watch you through a mirror, that's fucking
nice. He's not like through a mirror, is he?
Sorry, watch it, but they have to
It's like a periscope over the top of the cubicle.
I don't want anyone watching me while I'm going to the toilet.
I would request one of those camera obscuras. Do you know the project the image bigger than it actually is? I'd like that, please. It's interesting, isn't it? I didn't realise that. I thought you could get away with just having a private moment in the cubicle. That sounds worse than it is. It's a different sample.
Why are you taking so long? What are you doing?
This is just a urine sample, mate. Nothing else.
And
why have you got that apron on?
why have you got a magazine in there?
Why have
you
got a sexy lady apron?
Why have you got a nudie lady with you?
What's on that pen? Tip it upside down. Hang on, wait a minute. The dress has just come off. I didn't realise that people had to do wheeze in front of drug testing staff. Very intrusive anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd like that at all.
Speaking of those pens, you're the sort, Pete, that buys them on holiday, I reckon.
Yeah. Massively. And the mugs that when they get hot, all of the clothes fall off.
All of the clothes.
The Basques.
They come off.
The 70s Basques.
Yeah, this is a strange rule though, Vish, isn't it?
Yeah, although it does make sense. Yeah, you can see a lot over someone's shoulder. This whole bubble thing is really interesting because I think of all the athletes around the world who have had to go into a bubble, I think footballers are probably the most used to it because they're kind of used to having their lives separate to everyone else because they can't really go anywhere in normal time anyway because they get mobbed and everything else like that. Because across the sports that have gone back on and have been needed to be played in these biosecure environments, we've had quite a few breaches. So, for example, there was Jofra Archer in the cricket who, when they were travelling from Southampton to Manchester, stopped by his flat in Sussex, in Hove.
Good old Sussex by the sea. Sorry.
That's where he went, yeah. And then he had to miss the next game because he had to quarantine while he was in Manchester.
Oh, wow.
And he only revealed that in a random conversation the night before the game. And the person he spoke to was part of the management team. They're like, oh, you know, this is actually quite a serious deal. So that shows that how, you know, not everyone's clued up on the rules. There was another cricketer, Jordan Cox. He was just playing for his county, Kent. He scored a double 100 and he posed for a selfie with a fan who happened to be there.
Oh, man.
And now he's going to miss the next game because he has to isolate as well. You've obviously got the bubble in Orlando for the NBA where a couple of players were... a couple of players breached it because they ordered food because the food in the venue is really bad. And so they ordered takeaway.
Right.
And they because they went out and got the takeaway that they had to isolate as well. There was an Instagram model who said she'd already been invited into the bubble like 2 days in. It's obviously like they've got to kind of like park their lives for a bit. With the football, because it's going to be over in a week, it's not so bad. Obviously, with the NBA, it's like a month. The England players they went home between the Pakistan and the West Indies series, but it's basically a month. They were just stuck in a hotel, which happens to be at the ground as well, which is pretty demoralising. But I think the footballers should deal with it fine. No doubt we will hear something happens, you know, maybe another Instagram model coming out and you know, revealing that some player has been in her DMs. But
well, interestingly, I was talking to Alex Scott yesterday, who's out in Lisbon working out there for the tournament, and she was saying to me that it's actually quite different for the clubs to be in these kind of in this tournament style of football, because obviously footballers are used to it when they're on international duty. You go away to a tournament and you're very much used to, you know, hanging out with your international teammates in a very kind of closed environment for quite a long period of time. But in terms of your club teammates, obviously you go in and out of training every day. There's probably some teammates you barely speak to. Obviously match day, you're all together. There's that team environment. But really, you socialise with who you want to socialise when it comes to your club football. Mm. So this is a very different thing for them, because they're
breaking
all
up in the
gonna
cliques.
Be, yeah, they're all going to have to be in the same environment for quite a, you know, a long period of time together in these bubbles, which it will be different for them in terms of their teams.
Yeah.
Is that not flipped around though? Because don't they often say that at international meetups and stuff like that, all the players from the same team, from the same club team, tend to hang out with each other? Mm. And also, because it's the Champions League as well, a lot of those players are international players,
yeah,
and would have had experience of that kind of camp, I suppose.
Mm.
Back to Vicious Summer Camp.
Well, the game tonight is Atalanta versus PSG.
I am really excited about this match.
Me too. It's going to be interesting to see team news, because, of course, Atalanta have a lot of players that aren't available due to injuries and other stuff as well. It'll be interesting to see whether Mbappe plays for PSG as well, because he, of course, has been injured, but he travelled, he's been training as well. So the team sheet is going to be interesting to see who both managers pick. Who can you see winning it, though? Who's going to edge it?
Evil. PSG are going to win, aren't they?
Yeah. Tuchel's broken a bone in his foot, hasn't he? Which is very exciting.
He's a doubt as well, then.
He's a doubt. But he is going to be on the touchline. But yeah, Atalanta do have goals. Obviously, losing Josip is a big one, but I think they've got goals in their team. I could see PSG fucking it up. I really can.
Atalanta have been one of my favourite teams to watch this season, though. Mm. And they, you know, they came into this Champions League season as underdogs, so I'd love to see them beat PSG.
Yeah, and their league season started pretty badly, didn't it? Mm. So people were like, oh God, the dream is over. And so it's great to see them at this stage. And we mentioned it briefly on Monday, but against over two legs, you'd wonder if they had enough about them to beat PSG.
Yeah.
But when it's a one-off, like,
knockout
straight
shooting. It's so good, isn't it?
And slap them, couldn't they?
There's
slap
so many
them right
so many teams in this competition that have never won it. It's a really exciting but weird end to the season.
So they're both in the same boat in that regard, even though obviously the financial disparity is so vast. Because I think Atalanta have got the 13th highest wage budget in Serie A, whereas PSG, you know, own the moon. Mm. But so they're just two games away from the final, rather than what would be four games away.
Yeah.
And so they've got to think, fuck, this is it. This is the best chance for either of them.
Yeah.
Certainly more so Atalanta, but PSG, this is the one they've always wanted. Them and Man City are the two who really crave this, you know, that European Cup, and now it's even closer than it ever has been.
It's so much more exciting being knockout as well, isn't it? Yes. I absolutely love this. So the next four nights, we get a Champions League game every day. Love it. We cannot wait. And we're going to be talking more about that match tomorrow. Atalanta versus PSG is tonight. We'll find out our first team who are into the semi-finals of the Champions League. And Pete, you're going to be back with me tomorrow. And
one more of this, do we?
Yes, apparently so.
And, suckers!
Just to add something to the mix, it's going to be me, you and Jim. And according to Football Ramble Conspiracy, you two have got beef. So am I going to have to, you know, stand in between you, break up a fight?
It's going to be like a big beefy barbecue, and you're going to have to break us up. Just beef left, right and centre.
Lovely. Cannot wait already. Sweaty beef in this room again.
Chuck some wasps in here as well.
Yeah.
Stick them down your jaw.
Start livening it up. Vish, thanks for your company today. Pete, I'll see you tomorrow. No,
you're not thanking, you're not thanking me for me.
No,
for
I didn't know you wanted to thank me.
Thanked Vish for his company.
I was just going to go back what we talked about, and I think I'd like to distance myself from this podcast. But no, it's been lovely. Thank you
for
having
me. When are you back?
I think I'm back next week, yeah.
Lovely. We'll see you then.
Don't visit your house in Surrey.
I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.